Hello, and I'm very pleased to say, after a bit of a gap, Rachel is here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sunflower Allotment Podcast. It's a podcast for everyone and anyone who's interested in vegetable gardens and allotments.
So, in today's episode, partly because we're pleased to see Rachel and she keeps chickens on her allotment, so we thought it would be wonderful to hear Rachel talking about her chickens. We're going to talk about jobs for July, apart from the usual things such as weeding, succession sowing. I haven't had a drink, it's just a hard thing to say.
It's really lovely to see you, Peter.
It's been a while. Yes, it's great to see you again. We've bumped into each other socially, but it's not the same as being on the plot talking about
vegetable growing
and all of those kind of things. And I'm very lucky on my plot because I face southwest. And in the evening, we're still bathed in sun.
It's beautiful. It's a lovely golden light, and you can just see it sort of reflected all the tips of the leaves of the vegetables, and it's really beautiful.
And it's I mean any time is a good time to be on the allotment, but I particularly love this time because it goes quiet, everyone's gone, just a few people watering. But we've had a lot of rain.
The big news. It's so nice. It's been brilliant to have the rain because it was much needed, and it's sort of freed up some time for potentially doing other jobs that aside from watering, I think. But you can really notice it in your soil as well, Peter.
Yes, it was a dust bowl a week ago. But, So how are those chickens, Rachel?
Oh, they're doing so well. After quite a hard winter for all sort of birds that were supposed to be kept inside or were kept inside.
Because of the bird flu?
Yeah, because of the avian flu. It was quite a long stint this time, so it's just brilliant to let them have their freedom again, or their relative freedom, on my plot.
So you can let them out of the pen.
So you can let them out of the pen, and they're all the better for it. They're so eager to come out.
They're happier.
They're so happy. when you head down to the plot, they're all waiting on a. They sort of scramble to get on the tiny perch to see you and squawk at you.
They can hear you coming.
They can hear you coming. And so sorry to my allotment neighbours, if you ever listen to this, for the noise that they make. But they're quite noisy. But then, when you get to the onto the actual plot, they're so excited to be let out. They're all waiting at the gate and sort of rush each other to all squeeze out. There's four of them now. So four all coming out at once never really works because the gate isn't wide enough. But it's just wonderful to let them
and
have their freedom.
And your allotment is enclosed, isn't it? You've got the fence all the way round and the gate. So they can't go too far.
No, they can't. It's a lot different, actually. You really notice it this time of year as crops and things are higher on the plot. In the winter, you can spot the chickens anywhere when they're out because there isn't significant growth. But this time of year, it can be a bit of a mission to actually locate them sometimes. They're always there, but where they are can be a mystery for a while.
So while you're gardening, do you let them out and they can just roam around while you're on the plot?
Yeah, they just roam freely. There are a few sort of crops that I try and cordon off from them. But how successful that is dependent on how wily my chickens are.
Anything they really like to eat.
Yeah, anything that
you fight them for.
Yes, definitely. This year there was a battle for strawberries.
Oh, really?
So I harvested quite a few strawberries, but then I thought, I can't keep hauling them out of the strawberry patch. So in the end, you just think, well, I love them. I'll share my strawberries with my chickens.
And what are your chickens called?
So there's Ludi, who is my pen chicken who I've had the longest. There's Dee Dee, who was an ex-battery hen who used to be my brother's, but I now have.
Oh, brilliant. So a rescue chicken.
Yeah, a rescue chicken. And then my two newer hens, which I got a couple of months ago, are called Ruby and Florrie. And most of my hens are named after, like, women that I have known and loved, or sort of strong-willed women. So grandmas or, like...
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's how I tend to name them.
Yeah.
But when I got my two new hens, it was quite difficult to get them. I did want to get some ex-battery hens because it's nice to be able to rehome them.
And
as much as I love eggs, I'd happily just home the chickens. But since the avian flu, and I think since COVID a bit, there's been a much higher demand for chickens.
Is that right?
So there's waiting lists for chickens, and I was super lucky that I just phoned up a farm and they just happened to have two on
Day.
So they came and delivered them, which was brilliant. So yeah, I'm very happy Fantastic. With my chickens and yes. to have them pootling around with me and yeah. sometimes...
Do they get on? I mean, when you introduce the two new ones, is there... they Ludi, do... the yeah. king chicken, queen yeah, chicken, yeah, I should say, is. Sorry.
Yeah. She certainly is.
Good feminist chicken you've got there.
yeah, they, I think eventually, I do know now that eventually they do get on, but it's quite brutal to start off with. You uh-huh. have to really... I would say that if anyone's thinking of getting chickens, if you're introducing different hens, it's definitely best never to introduce one hen to a flock of hens because the pecking order is real and the established hens will really peck on the new hen. Yeah. So it's best to introduce like two hens to one existing hen or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure you have enough time to really keep an eye on them and make sure that... to separate them basically if they were fighting too much, but inevitably if you want them to integrate there's going to have to be a bit of fighting and sorting out the pecking order, so there's some separating them but some
and
having to
just let them do their
let
thing.
Them get on with it
Well, we must do a proper episode on keeping chickens
but
it's
fun.
Great to have an update on on how they are.
Thank you, Peter. Actually, thinking of that, because I now have four hens, and because it is peak season for egg laying, I have a massive excess of eggs. So, Peter, I've got, I don't know how many are in there, might be about 8 or 9 eggs, but they're
They
specs.
Look amazing. They look absolutely beautiful. And they're speckled.
Yeah.
I love the way as well. That is slightly bumpy.
Yeah,
we get so used to those they're wonky.
Yeah,
wonky eggs. they're beautiful.
They're all different. So it's been interesting with the new hens seeing what kind of eggs they're going to lay.
Yeah.
And they can be quite fragile compared to sort of shop bought eggs.
Yeah.
So no logging them around. Logging them
Fantastic.
Around.
Fantastic. Well, that's lobbing them around. They won't be lobbed. They will be treated. I was telling Tim off the other day for throwing his garlic. He only dropped it on the grass. Then I just said, Tim!
Precious garlic
bruises so easily. I hope I didn't offend him. But that is absolutely beautiful, and that's my supper sorted out.
Oh,
wonderful.
You're very welcome.
I will, great. Well, in return, because we're now into that time of the year where we're starting to harvest all kinds of wonderful things, have a garlic.
Oh, thank you. Look at this. This looks splendid. It's really big. It looks really healthy. Smells super garlicky.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
Much.
That's a Carcassonne white. Because I've grown some extra early varieties.
Yeah.
So some of the later ones are more for storage.
Is this good fresh?
I love them fresh. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Just shaved onto new potatoes, into salads, because it's milder, it's not as strong as when they're dried.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you ever so much.
Because you've got a surfeit of eggs. And I did hear you, as we walked onto the plot here, you said you're waiting for your courgettes to arrive.
Oh, look at
this.
I have
a couple of courgettes.
Oh, thank you. That's
I'm already overburdened with courgettes.
It was getting to the point where I thought, I'm going to have to go to the shop and buy some courgettes.
No,
and I don't want to.
No, not in July.
Be ready. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, so
brilliant.
That's a very wonky one.
Yeah, this is an enjoyable shape, this one. It's almost like an old-fashioned telephone shape.
Yes.
Great.
And... because I've got a surplus of this as well. There's some sorrel for you.
Oh, thanks, Peter.
Yeah.
I had my dinner quite early today, but I almost want a second.
Be nice in a sandwich tomorrow.
Yeah. Don't eat it when you get home, Rachel.
No.
Wait for
On
tomorrow.
Your cereal before
yeah.
bed.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Oh, pleasure. Yeah, I mean, how are things on your plot at the moment? Apart from the chickens roaming around happily, destroying everything, what's happening on your plot at the moment?
It was a little bit of a slow start for me this year because of the cold weather and because I can't grow
Wasn't
much
it
at
just?
Home.
I mean, May. Yeah. May was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it felt like summer was just never going to appear, but thankfully it has.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my stuff's a little bit behind. So like the courgettes, I've got courgettes planted, but they're behind. They're not as big as I'd like them to be. Same with the squashes. But I'd say in the last week since the rain, the rain and the sun in combination and the longer daylight hours, things are really coming on now. And my sweet corn's looking healthier than it did
really?
Last year.
Okay.
So I'm glad I gave it another go. And
yeah.
So there's quite a lot going on down there. And peas to harvest.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Weeding to do and all of that sort of thing.
Yes, because as the plants take off, so do the weeds.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Do you have a... What's your weeding technique? Do you hoe? Do you do it by hand?
Ah, it worked. Hello. There you are. Andrew here, and this is Shandor.
Hello.
We've got a brand new season of the Family Histories podcast for you with another 7 fascinating guests who'll be telling us about their secretive granny, a brave sailor, a political poet, a merchant seaman, a priestly lover, a resistance member, and a magnificent aunt that they've discovered in their family trees. And did I mention that there's a secret time machine? No, of course I didn't. Anyway, search for the Family Histories podcast after this episode to join us on our trip back in time. Okay, you can switch it off now.
If I've got time, I prefer to dig everything out by hand with a trowel because I think it's a bit more thorough.
Yes.
But if I don't have time, then I hoe. But
yeah.
Because I'm a little bit clumsy, I'm a bit wary of hoeing in case I nick the plants or damage them. So, what about you? What's your preferred technique?
Hold on a second. I'm just going to get something from my shed.
Intriguing. Is it a hoe? Is it a trowel? It can't be anything as basic as that. I bet it's some really exciting... Oh, look at this!
So this is... I gave one to Tim last year. These... We call these the whale tails because they look like the fluke of a whale.
Yes.
And they are fantastic because...
Are you going to demonstrate?
Yeah. Come over here. And what you do is get it into the ground and just slide it backwards and forwards.
Oh,
and
I see.
And you can do a... I can run over... the whole plot in about 10-15 minutes, but you do have to do it before the weeds get established.
Yeah, so
and
their roots aren't too deep.
Probably do that once a week. I've also got a small one.
Ah.
Because it is very easy to get carried away and suddenly you have weeded your lettuces and your seedlings.
Yes.
And
your... Yes. So it's to restrict yourself from a potential.
Yeah, so this will work. this is perhaps what? That's... 3.5-4 inches
Yeah,
wide.
I'd say so.
What's that in centimetres? About
maybe
10, 12.
Yeah.
But you work backwards and forwards and it cuts all the roots.
Brilliant.
And so you can weed very quickly. Even I wouldn't weed around carrots with these.
Yeah.
But everything else, it just works a treat and it is so quick.
Yeah.
And also it's then a real incentive, as we've said before, the folklore about weeding, certainly on this plot with the people who've been here a long time always wander over and say, weed before you see a weed. And it is really good advice.
Yes.
And that's why I do run over it once a week.
Yeah.
And as you can see, it's pretty weed-free.
It really is.
From, amongst the potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah, the majority of your plot is really weed-free.
Yeah. While we're talking about potatoes.
Yes.
Bit of a disaster, and it's rather upsetting. They have blackleg.
Oh, I don't know what blackleg is.
No, I didn't know either. It's a bacterial infection. They were doing really well.
Yeah.
And then, over a few days, one just went yellow, just like that. And I've looked it up. I didn't know what it was, but I've looked it up, and it's blackleg. It's definitely blackleg, and it's a bacterial infection. And rather annoyingly, how does it arrive on the plot? How does it come? You know, it's not like fungus and spores.
Yes, they're spread airborne.
It's nearly always because the seed potato
has
it.
No.
I know.
So then it means the whole batch could...
Thank you, Rachel. Yes,
oh,
I know.
Oh, no,
I know.
Peter.
It is really annoying.
They're still
edible.
Yeah.
But it's also annoying. I've now got that in the soil. So I will have to... be at the end of my other plot to put potatoes next year and I can't put potatoes here for another 2 or 3 years and probably not tomatoes or things like that because of that risk.
Yeah, and, that's very frustrating.
And I know there was a batch because other people who got seed potatoes from the same batch, I've got a new friend over there.
Yeah.
And it was him who actually, his got it before mine and he wandered over and said, what do you think that is? And I went home and researched. But,
Oh, I'm sorry. That's frustrating,
wow.
Isn't it?
But it's interesting because I've learned something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the way to look at
Trying
it as well.
Trying to be positive about it.
No, good on you, Peter. Good on you. It's the best way to be because otherwise you'd soon give up,
yeah,
I think.
Well, I mean, and you're such an experienced and knowledgeable gardener to, yeah.
Well, there's still all sorts of like pests and diseases, especially. I feel like I'd love to do another degree in just pests and diseases,
yes,
to be honest.
Yes.
But yeah,
we need another life for that.
Yes, you do.
So that's my bad luck story, and it is just pure luck. And as you know,
yes,
I'm quite careful about the soil.
Yeah, you really are.
But that's a bit frustrating.
Yeah,
but
at least you've got a plan for how to move forward next year and
have
identified what it is.
Yes, and also, it is that time of year when the potatoes are beautiful to eat. But also, if anyone's listening and they've got issues with their potatoes, it would be really interesting to
definitely
to hear.
Yeah, there's such a variety of things that can go a little bit awry.
Yeah.
So
hopefully the weather has meant, after a cold May, but it wasn't that wet, and then a very hot, dry June. And we've just had quite a bit of rain over the last few days in early July, but it hasn't been blight weather for potatoes.
No.
And there's no signs of blight. It was instantly, I thought at a distance, oh, that looks like blight. But
it
blight looks very different.
Yeah, thank goodness it's not that, I think.
Yeah. We should talk about jobs.
We should, shouldn't we, really?
Because the sun is going down.
Yeah.
And I'm sat here in shorts.
Yeah, and I don't have a jumper. Have you got any sort of key jobs that you're itching to get done?
We've kind of talked about it, but thinning.
Yes.
But I'm not thinning because I've grown everything in modules.
Yes.
But that's the other reason I grow things in modules is I don't like thinning. I think it's wasteful of seeds.
Yeah.
It's a job I really dislike doing.
Yeah.
Who's gonna? It's like Sophie's Choice. Who's gonna survive? Who's
mean.
Going on? To,
yeah.
So, but thinning, if you've been good enough, and next year I will put things more directly into the soil.
Yeah.
Because it's just more efficient time-wise, isn't it? But if you've got things in the soil, then thinning, as you probably will know, if you've got your rows of lettuces and carrots and all those
it's
kind
important,
of things,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And it, as much as it can be tempting to leave everything in, I think thinning is important if you want sort of a bumper, healthy crop.
Yes. I would just say, because I've got a number of people around us, and some quite new people who have got carrots, and they're not covered up. And I would always recommend put Enviromesh over carrots because of carrot fly. Do you grow carrots?
I always intend to, but I sporadically do because I sort of think they're one of those things that's like low down on my list, I suppose. I love a carrot, but...
Yeah.
Again,
they're those things that when you've grown them, you think, this is so good compared to anything you can buy, even from an organic veg box, or, they're still better.
Yeah.
I haven't this year because I haven't had time, but I'm going to put some in over the next few days. I think there's still time.
Yeah, I think there is.
But my tip in terms of thinning for carrots, first, do protect them from carrot fly. Carrot fly have the most... Oh, that's my neighbour and I've parked on her spot. Sorry, Justy. Carrot fly have an incredible sense of smell. And so thinning or weeding carrots, I think, needs to be done on a cool evening.
Yes.
And because carrot fly are less active.
Yeah.
And it's really useful to grow onions or garlic around carrots because that masks it.
Is it their scent marks?
Yes, it camouflages the smell of the carrots. And also... I have something called garlic gunk, which commercial growers, I was talking to a commercial carrot grower, and he gave me a big litre container of garlic gunk, and you water the carrots with that before you weed them.
That's interesting.
And it hides, again,
it's so pungent.
The carrot fly, you can weed away, during the day, rather than waiting for a cool evening, it works.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's useful to know.
So, thinning carrots.
Thinning.
I think they're very, very prone to carrot fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any tips on thinning?
I think you've covered a lot of it, to be honest. I suppose just to be, which seems very obvious, but to sort of be careful of where you go sometimes when you're thinning, because it can be quite easy to trample things, I think, when plants are planted densely. So it's a very obvious thing, but just sort of be careful.
No, you're absolutely right. When I first when I first got the plot, I was so keen getting things in.
Yeah.
I didn't allow any space for feet.
Yeah.
You know, like they were crammed in and, yes. And Anna, very experienced gardener next door, walked over and said, how are you going to weed?
Yeah. It's so easy to do, isn't
no
it?
Space.
And the enthusiasm. Yeah.
Yes. So, that's jobs for July.
Yeah.
What next? Jobs? What other jobs are you doing?
I would say this is an exciting one, which I'm excited to say, but harvesting.
Yes.
Harvesting.
Yes. That's not a job.
Yeah, it's barely a job, is it?
Yeah.
But harvesting lots of crops. So that's the exciting bit. Any fruits and vegetables that are ready now. So my sort of broad beans are coming to an end. So. Yeah. A big job for me is to fully harvest all of that now and then shuck those bean pods and freeze things and eat things. Eating things, that's a job.
Yes, very important job.
But then along with harvesting, I suppose, sort of almost the equivalent for flowers is deadheading, I suppose.
Yes.
So if, like me, you grow flowers on your plot, then if you want sort of a succession of flowers, then a lot of species would benefit, especially things like sweet peas, which a lot of us might grow on allotments.
Yes.
The more you pick them, the more they grow. So I try and sort of stay on top of that as much as I can. And it's delightful because if you're picking flowers, you can take them home or give them to people.
And of course, the same applies to vegetables. So very important to keep.
Yeah.
Keep harvesting the courgettes in particular because they will go into
marrows
and they will just stop. They will just stop dead.
I think it was last year or the year before that I was I hadn't been to my plot for a little while and my courgette quickly turned into marrows and my niece was visiting and I taught her how to bosh courgettes up in the compost bin, which was a very fun afternoon, but felt a bit sad because it was just destroying marrows.
Yes,
but
yes. Exploding marrows. Bit of a theme this evening. What else would you crop continually to keep them going?
What other stuff? The strawberries are almost over. So I've got some purple sprouting broccoli that is ready now. So I'm sort of having to keep quite on top of that, or try to, and failing sometimes at harvesting that.
And that keeps it going.
And it keeps it going, yeah. So I found that if you keep cutting it back, you can get a good couple of lots from each plant. So.
Yes. And has it gone well this year, your sprouting broccoli?
It has, I find that, if I plant it sort of like early winter and leave it in, it can look a bit sorry for itself over winter, but it's usually quite successful to be in my dry old soil.
Well, you might remember I had three rows.
Yeah.
And I've hooked them all out because they were rubbish.
Oh, no.
and I kind of love them and they just never took off.
Oh, what a shame.
I don't know why.
No.
Yeah.
It can be really hit or miss with things, can't it?
Yeah, they were more miss than hit.
Yeah.
So what I mean, those are the fun jobs, eating,
fun
harvesting.
Jobs.
But harvesting, with that intent of keeping things cropping.
Yes.
Yeah. What other job? I mean, obviously we've talked about weeding, hoeing, mulching, I think.
Yeah.
We don't know what the rest of the summer's gonna bring.
No.
This time last July we were roasting in 39 degrees, so I've tried to be good about mulching and I think that's worked where I've done it.
I think if you're planting anything now, or even things you've already planted, if you can give it a really good water and then mulch it, it does wonders, doesn't it? It does help retain the moisture in the soil.
Yeah, very much. What are you doing about bugs? I mean, cabbage, caterpillars, things like that. Do you go and inspect the brassicas?
I do if I've got time. I think, again, because I'm a bit soft-hearted, I'm a bit rubbish at killing them.
I know, it seems awful.
Yeah, it feels awful.
Because moths are so important.
Exactly.
We talk about pollinators. We don't often talk about moths being really important, but there they are pollinating away at night.
Yeah. And I think.
And unseen, so that's why we don't talk about them.
No.
But they like plants and they like flowers just as much as the daytime pollinators.
Exactly. I think my general attitude, I think a lot of the time to stuff I'm growing is certain stuff like brassicas, I will put sort of nets around and try and keep moths and things off. But I think if it got to the point where, especially if I've got to eat some of it, if I've harvested some and then the caterpillars come, then I'm sort of
I think,
I'll let them have a bit.
Yeah, some for nature, some for the pot.
Yeah, exactly.
No, definitely.
But generally, I wouldn't spend a lot of time sort of trying to eliminate bugs and pests and things, mostly because I'm just a sucker for the insects. So sometimes I might try and relocate some ladybirds.
Yes, I do. I pick them up and move them around. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I put them onto the beans because the green fly can like the beans. But the green fly, the beans always outlive the green fly, I think.
Yes. I suppose occasionally, if something was really infested with something, I might spray it with some like soapy water, perhaps. Mm. But
they can't see it gets in their eyes.
No, exactly.
It's like soap in your eyes in the bath. Sorry, that's an old allotment joke. What are the jobs? One of the jobs I really like doing is staking and cutting out the side shoots of tomatoes. Because I love the smell of the tomato leaf on my fingers. And it's the tomatoes are coming. And yes, stopping tomatoes, setting, we've mentioned it already. But I think four trusses setting if they're outside, five in a polytunnel. Again, that's a hard thing to do. You see all the trusses, but I think by now, you know, the days are already getting shorter. I hate to say it.
Yeah, they are.
But so we've probably got, July, we've got August,
yeah,
a week or two in September, you know, things need the time to grow and come to fruition,
exactly.
Ripen.
I think, that can be said for quite a few things, can't it? Sort of being mindful of how much time we've got left. So stuff like if you've got fruit trees, it's good. Hopefully a lot of people are sort of getting apples start to form now, or pears and other things. But if you've got a mass of them growing in one spot, a sort of a cluster of apples.
Do you thin your trees?
If I've got time, I do, because it does produce a healthier... Yeah. bigger fruit, but it really depends on how much time I've got.
It's not an essential job.
No, it's definitely not an essential job.
You can see this apple tree, the Spartan, it's a lovely, lovely apple.
Yeah.
It's got so many apples have set.
Yeah.
So I will thin that in the next week or two.
Yeah.
And it's really worth doing, because otherwise they just stay small and
never
get big and then don't really ripen and don't have a good flavour.
You just have a really hard apple.
Do you have a rule of thumb about how much?
I'd sort of tend to keep it to sort of like, to not really how much, but I suppose I would try and make sure that each apple has growing room around it, if possible.
Yes.
So perhaps like two,
so that
two
run
or three.
There, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12
Yeah.
Within the space of about 18 inches. So every other one, every
exactly.
third one.
Yeah, that's what
space.
I would do.
Yeah.
Give them room and air around them as well. I think having air moving around.
Yes. Space and light.
Space and light,
always.
Yeah, really helps.
Yes.
And of course, they can be composted.
Yes.
So, you don't eat them.
Yes, absolutely. Or leave them out for the moths.
Exactly,
Or the caterpillars. this bench ends up being covered in
oh,
apples.
Does it?
Yes. Rotting away. what are you planting?
What am I planting? So I've just put in...
Because one of the things I quite like about this time of year, as some things come out, you can start putting things in. So I've harvested 2-3 rows of garlic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put in some beetroot and lots of chicory, it is a form of chicory, radicchio.
Yes, you love the radicchio.
I do love the radicchio. Yeah. It's such a reliable thing.
That's returning this year.
It is. I've got about 60 at home. But some to go in the soil. So are you succession sowing?
I do try to. I always fail a little bit. So I've just harvested all of my garlic. So in that bed, a friend very kindly gave me some kale, two varieties of kale that they'd grown. And I'd been looking after them in my greenhouse. So I planted them out and they're doing well, which is nice to see. There's a few sort of salad-y crops I want to plant, so spinach and small lettuces and things. And I, like you,
there's
would like...
There's still plenty of time for those.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I would, like you, would also like to plant some carrots, because I failed so far at planting them. And I've So, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So generally, I tend to this time of year. I do put in some things a little late, like my brother kindly gave me some pumpkins. I don't normally grow pumpkins.
Oh, right.
But he gave me some, so I planted them about 2 weeks ago, which is a little bit late, but I thought, I've got them, I've got the room, we'll just see what they do.
Yeah.
But
great.
Generally, this time of year, it's probably faster growing things that I'd largely plant, so salad crop things or maybe herbs.
Yeah, unless they're growing for winter.
Exactly,
Yeah. Which would be winter cabbage, calabrese, perhaps?
Yeah.
Cauliflowers, kale, leeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I would say...
Second cropping potatoes. Have you ever put in potatoes this time of year?
No, I haven't. I'd love to try it, because this is often when I have a bit more space.
Yes. I have got some potatoes chitting at home, which were going to be my second crop, but I'm really nervous about putting them in if they've got infected with bacteria. So that idea is scotched.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, what about you? Have you got any particular things that you want to be putting in now?
I've got, just more brassicas for winter, all the radicchio I've mentioned, beetroot, and some I'll do undercover as well.
Some
cloches.
Do you ever find with your brassicas, because I often want to start putting in seedlings now, but sometimes if it then becomes really hot in July or early August, they really suffer.
They don't
so
like
I wonder
the heat.
If I should hold off a little bit on them.
Yeah.
And you're pretty great at growing brassicas, so what would you recommend? Do you put them in now or do you
wait? I will do both.
Yeah.
I don't think, it's always in gardening, we tend to think, do this or that.
Yes.
I do both.
Yeah.
You've got to spread your bets, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember 2 years ago, we had a very wet August.
Yeah.
It rained almost all August and the brassicas loved it.
Yeah.
So it's worth doing, isn't it? I will try and spread the bets if you've got room.
Yeah.
I think what I'm guilty of, and we've talked about it, is having too many and then putting them in.
Yeah.
And then they haven't got space for the next. So
yeah.
I'm trying to be better about that. Ooh, other jobs. Anything else? Sewing. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can be sewing, but it's whether you do or not. I know Tim's very keen on the pak choi and some of the oriental greens, Mibuna, Mizuna, things like that.
Yeah.
And they go really well. I grew some Mizuna last year.
Yeah.
I wasn't mad about the flavour, but
no.
I know some people love it.
Yeah.
What else? Pinching out cucumbers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? Because if you want it to keep producing, your plant to keep producing flowers and keep producing cucumbers, then it's important to keep pinching them out.
Yeah, are you growing cucumbers?
I'm not this year. I had seedlings, but I'm not.
I always tend to think of them as something that does much better in a undercover.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I've grown them outside.
Yeah.
But never quite so successful. Yeah. Perhaps they'll do better this year. I have got some going outside because I thought, it's going to be a hot summer.
Yeah.
Endless optimism.
Yeah, that's
I have those
spirit.
Cucumbers outside.
I'm very lucky to have some lovely allotment neighbours who are brilliant at growing vegetables. And so they've got several cucumber plants this year. So they keep being good cucumber supply.
Excellent. And I'm growing an interesting variety called apple lemon.
Oh.
Which are sort of round and sort of look apple-y. I've never grown them, but was given the seed, so I'm going to give them a go. I'll let you know.
Will they taste apple-y and
lemon-y,
do you think?
I'll let you know.
Intriguing.
We'll have to have a meal on the
allotment. Yeah, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
And just made of the things that we've grown.
Yeah.
And that would
That'll
be
fun. I'll bring some more eggs.
Yes. I think that courgette in front of us has grown even while we've been sitting
here.
Yeah,
it's here. Rooted.
There's one last thing I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
Or I think it will be useful to talk about. Watering and feeding.
Yeah.
Do you feed much?
I do try and feed.
Seaweed.
Yeah, that's my feed of choice is seaweed.
Mine too.
And
why?
Because I think it's just got a really good balance of different nutrients. It's got all the essential things in it.
Okay.
And I've just repeatedly.
It's also very easy to do, isn't it?
It's super easy.
It's a liquid.
It's super easy because it's a liquid.
Several capfuls in a watering can and.
Exactly. And for me, it's sort of it's less fussy, I suppose, as well, because you can almost use it on everything.
Which, if time's short,
and for me, because I grow perennials and climbers and all sorts down there, I know it's great for roses and it's great for vegetables.
Yes,
and
indeed.
So I don't have to, if time's limited.
Yeah.
And I've just heard great things about it consistently from sort of various gardeners.
It's a sustainable source as well.
Exactly.
I think that's really important.
That's super important.
And I've tried the organic granules that you put in the soil. But I always think, where has this come from?
Yeah.
You know, this is more manufactured.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just seaweed as a sustainable source. I think it's also the amount of oil in the production.
Yeah.
And all of those, the environmental impact of the production is much less.
Yeah.
And I've become increasingly guilt-ridden about everything I do. All I mean is we can try and do what we can.
Exactly.
And minimise
I think
impact.
When you've got your own sort of like ethical boundaries and things, you know what things you're comfortable with, like blood, fish and bone, for example. Like I'm a vegetarian, so I don't have a problem with anyone else necessarily wanting to use that. And if a customer asked me, I perhaps would, but it's not something I want to use myself, even though I know it's beneficial. So I think, you have to
and
find
it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
As
yes,
well.
Exactly.
Not a particularly
so
pleasant one, but it
no,
is.
No, but it is if you're gonna.
Yeah, and I know some of the good old
animal.
Boys swear by it,
you
know, and they have sackfuls of it in their sheds. But I prefer seaweed.
Yeah.
For lots of the reasons we've mentioned.
chicken manure. I suppose that's a natural byproduct of me having chickens.
Yeah, yes. Well, you're
there's
always,
bound to be some chicken manure.
You're always getting into biodynamics then, yeah. aren't you? A whole integrated, holistic system.
Yeah.
One day, that's the dream.
The plan. Yeah.
That is the dream. I'll have to keep some chickens. Yeah. And perhaps some donkeys.
Yeah.
Or horses.
Oh.
I'd like a donkey, just for the manure, but yeah. I think they're really
I'd
nice
I'd really
animals.
Like a pig, even though they're...
Yeah.
They need a lot of space.
I think we're beginning to ramble.
Yeah, I think we are. Perhaps
fantasy
it's time to
animals.
Go. Yeah, this is not our dream allotment if time, space, and
no, when we move
finances.
To Ireland
yeah.
and have a farm. Yes. Last question, or last thing to talk about then, watering. How much are you watering?
Yeah. So I'm trying at the moment. Obviously keeping an eye on when it actually rains.
Mm.
If it's rained, I probably won't water for a day or two after that because...
Just doesn't need it.
Just doesn't need it. So it depends how hot and dry it is, but I'm trying to water in the evenings at the moment, and I'd probably say at least twice a week because that's what I can manage around work, unless it's been incredibly hot and dry or I have really young seedlings in or a plant that I really need to give an extra boost.
Are there any things you think that are quite drought resistant and can get by without watering?
So generally sweet corn.
Yeah.
Sweet corn generally is a tough old, other than last year.
Yeah.
I'm a bit
stingy
with my sweet corn and it manages just fine.
Yeah.
I think brassicas and anything that bolts or goes to seed easily need to water lots.
Yes.
And anything that's
my spinach. I was away.
And oh.
It was just ready for eating and then it bolted.
Oh no, it's so frustrating.
I had one meal.
Oh.
Yeah.
What about you? How often are you watering?
Well, I've changed. I used to hardly water at all.
Yeah.
But that was because I tried to be very good about getting lots of manure and that acting like a sponge. But I have changed. This year I have been watering more, partly because June was so hot and so dry. And I have noticed a difference.
Yeah.
The courgettes in particular. I mean, who knows? Again, growing season vary. But I think the courgettes look a lot happier. I used to practice real tough love with things when they were in the ground.
Yeah.
Not water, thinking the idea that they would have to go dig down looking for roots and it would make a stronger, healthier plant. And Tim and I have talked about this. But I have changed and I do water minimally, but I do. And those courgettes... were watered quite regularly during that hot period, but they're looking fantastic
now.
Yeah,
they look really healthy, really perky.
That's the proof of the pudding, isn't it? And the parsley I watered, I've never normally watered parsley. I don't know why, I'm just mean like that.
Well, no, I think that's understandable.
But it's looking really healthy.
Yeah.
So, I always have in the back of my mind, my dad, when he lived on the Isle of Arran in Scotland, it was such a kind of warm, humid, warmed by the Gulf Stream.
Yeah.
Lots of rain, being the west coast of Scotland, and his things grew just like bananas. I mean, they didn't grow like bananas, but they went bananas.
Yeah.
I mean, the strawberries, the raspberries were to die for.
Yeah.
And he said it was the warmth and the humidity did really well. And I was watering the other day and I was thinking, I remember Dad's garden in Scotland.
Yeah.
Everything did really well. And it was didn't get that much sun.
Yeah.
But that warm and moist... conditions really love, and I know that's why Joy moved to Ireland, was she found East Anglia rather arid, and that was many years ago now, so and it's much worse now. Lovely talking to you, Rachel,
lovely talking
and lovely
to you
seeing
too.
You on the plot.
Thank you for having me.
It's just setting above
it
the
is.
trees. Here we are, it's 9 o'clock and the sun is setting. And did you see the moon this week?
No, I didn't.
Supermoon. It's called a buck moon, I believe. I don't know why. And it's an extra big super moon because the moon is closest to the Earth that's going to be for quite a while.
Oh, and I missed it.
And I love, so I look at the full moon and I love, this is the moon gardening in me, but it's science. That moon is pulling moisture up from the deep in the ground, up to the surface. That's why the manure is down there.
Yeah.
And it comes up like a sponge.
That's interesting.
It's one of the principles around moon gardening.
Yeah.
We will talk about that another time.
Yeah, that would be really fascinating. I'd like to know more about that.
Well, thank you for the eggs.
Thank you for the garlic and the courgettes and everything.
And everything. Lovely to see you.
Yeah.
And goodbye.
Yeah, bye.